From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fan, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fan, Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable Preview versus the Bucks. Chris, what's going on, man? How's everything, man?
Hey, look, it's another week. It's another week to evaluate our squad, to look positively at the possibilities of everything going forward, and just put a great spin on it pregame. That's what we need to do today. No rehashing old coffee. Just let's go ahead and just it's time for some wonderful spirited dialogue. That's where I'm at, man. That's what I want to do. And I'm sure everybody want to do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, big matchup Monday Night Football versus a Buccaneers team that looked very impressive versus the Packers on their last outing. I mean, anything, any given Sunday, you never know how we can pan out, how we will show up. We'll talk about the matchups and we'll get to through all that. But let me say this real quick because, you know, the last time we were on here, I was really not in the right state of mind. I was furious. I was pissed. Agitated because here's the thing. I did not say on the post game with you guys when I called in at the tail end of that. Everything I said to Eagle fans in Philadelphia, I said what was going to happen, did happen. And it frustrated me that it did happen. Like I predicted it for the fact that Daniel Jones was going to fumble at the end. I said we were going to blow the lead in the fourth quarter. Somebody was going to fumble and it was Deion Lewis. I mean, everything I said in that was going to happen in the game did happen. It pissed me off, man. But I'll say this, man. Nobody wants to see losses more than the platform here, the stakeholders, the Giant fans that call in. I got to say, man, it made for at least, listening to everybody when I went back and listened, like in the middle of the night on the way up the turnpike, it calmed me down listening to you orchestrate a beautiful post game. In the loss, I know I hate the fact that we're losing these games, but this is therapy for a lot of us, including me. I got to admit, man, I enjoy it here in Lady Blue. I enjoy hearing Lit. I'm surprised a calm DB Nation. I thought he would have, sent the blades to MetLife Stadium. You know, I was kind of shocked at that. Carl, everybody, man. It was a Billy Bob. I'm shocked Billy Bob was calm. You know, I actually had to check myself,
really,
Chris. I say this to stakeholders, man, great analysis, man, on that postgame, even though we want wins at the end of the day. And that win was for the taking, and we blew it. I'm still mad at Evan Ingram. Has he been cut yet?
No, I'm afraid not. You know, the sad thing is, unlike Noah Fant and T.J. Hockenson and a lot of the tight ends this year, even Gronkowski, he's been playing, man. And this was supposed to be his breakout season. And I don't know what to say, Steve. I don't know what's going on, but I do know one thing. There's a lot of things that we saw, and I'm going to be brief about the Eagles. There was a lot of things that we saw last week, and I do know one thing. We had a 21-10 lead with 6 minutes to play. We couldn't run out the clock. Mm-hmm. The whole 9 yards, but at the end of the day, him dropping that ball killed our momentum in more ways than one. We cannot keep shooting ourselves in the foot this way, and that's why I do not blame you at all, or actually DB Nation and et cetera, DB Nation or Billy Bob for having the composure that they did, because we do this to ourselves a lot. Allowing our passion to overtake us, and hey, we're all in this together, man. Well, like I always say, we're one big blue family, bro, and we're all hurting the same way, and we all see the same things, mostly the same way, and it hurts the same way. It hurts. So, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the cornerback was rightfully identified. Lewis was getting killed. He helped lose the game. Harper, with his terrible penalties, that helped kill the game. We can't See, this is the thing, man. And maybe we get the stakeholder thoughts on this. Where is Joe Judge in all this? Has he reprimanded some of these stupid penalties, these stupid plays? Like with Luke, with Harper especially, you know, like that's all. Where's the action behind the big boy talk you were saying in the press conference? That's where I'm at. But we're going to get to this matchup versus you know, the Buccaneers. We all think they are playoff bound, and some of us think they're probably going to come out of the NFC, depending on who you are. But they had a very nice win versus the Packers. The last time we saw them, had they played before that? That was the last time I thought I saw them play.
I
believe that was the last time. They know. That's right. They played the Raiders too, and they had a big win versus the Raiders. So yeah, they're rolling.
That was big.
And there's another return of Jason Pierre-Paul. Pretty much wants some revenge. I think the last couple of times we played the Bucs, I think one time he didn't play, and another time he didn't. I think this is his first time actually against the Giants in MetLife since he's been traded. You know he's gonna want some.
Yeah,
and he's been having a decent season.
We saw them down there. We saw them in Tampa Bay. You're right. That's what it was.
But I don't think he played that game. I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember. But anyway,
I'm not sure either.
But,
yeah. But I do know.
All right, man. Let's do Tampa Bay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go. Yeah, go. Let's do that. Say
your thoughts. And we'll bring them up.
No, I was just alluding to the fact that I do know Tampa Bay. You know, they had their own injury issues. You know, but and they're adjusting with some, you know, skill position, new skill position cats on the offensive side of the ball. But look at them now, man. They're starting to start this peak right now, that gives them a lot of confidence. I mean, sheesh. You know, we'll talk about it going forward. But they haven't been the same team since they got their ass beat on opening night. With New Orleans, I just know that they got three straight wins. They're good. They're doing well. We're going to talk about that. That's the purpose of this show. 929-477-4171. And who's on the line? What's going on? Hello, my girlfriend.
My name is Lady Blue, and I'm a Giants fan. Oh wait, wrong kind of group.
We're with the stakeholders, man. We don't the group thing is the group thing, but this is family over here. We family over here.
Oh,
what up, Lady Blue?
You know what the problem is? When you say that we were all calm, it's sad because we're at the point now where we're expecting to lose, and I don't like that feeling anymore.
That's right.
We need to get out of this mindset, and until shit happens on the management side and the player side, we just need to get used to it.
Yeah.
But
all right,
I'm
lady,
here
because
I miss everybody.
Yeah. Thank you. And don't think a day don't come by, don't go by, a week don't go by. We don't miss you either, my love. So stand by.
All right.
This got to be my man, Carl. What's up, sir?
What's up, Carl?
A pleasant good evening, gentlemen. I'm also checking in
good
the Giants Anonymous Clinic. Yes, the Giants Anonymous Clinic. We can gather.
Yes.
Gather around, have a seat, pull up a chair, and get ready.
And let's have some fun. Said before in the prior episode, Carl is part of the less than 1% of fans, elite fans, who's actually been to an NFL game in and a year that we have never seen in our lifetime. I mean, Carl has had the honor to be at a football game, and shout out to Carl, man. Like, I think that goes a long way in the history books, man.
Yeah.
And people may not think of it like that, but I do. I definitely do.
There you go. All right. Carl, hold on, man. I got a question for you too, man. All right. Stand by. One half of the Wild Boys. What's up, Wild Boys?
Connie
Savani!
I want to tell you right now. I spent more money on spilled liquor than Dave Gettleman has spent all year on a good free agent.
Wait a minute. Is that hello?
This is rehab.
Like I'm the book, and Carl just said. So, yeah. This is rehab. I know. Hold up, man. We need to talk about this game.
I got something to say. That has nothing to do with football, man. I mean, we'll get to the football, but Manny does. I got to ask you. Matter of fact, Chris, if you want to answer this too, I mean, Tank Davis or Santa Cruz on Saturday, Manny does. I don't know if we're going to have time at the end of the episode.
Ooh.
Who you got?
That's going to be the fight of the year. That's the fight of the year.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you like this, man. Got Tank Davis, but I don't got him as comfortably as a lot of people do. Leo's length
at the group
is gonna cause him problems.
That's right.
It's gonna cause him
That's
problems.
Right. Yeah.
And Leo got enough power. You know what is, it'll be similar if Leo wins, it'll be similar to what Lopez did to Loma. He gonna feel something that he don't like, and he ain't gonna be coming in that quick. But I think Tank will pull it off, man. I really do. But it's gonna be a bomb burner.
I totally agree. After he beat Flores last year, Santa Cruz, that is, I knew that he was going to be a terror. And right now, Tank is like, you know what this reminds me of? The same way Mike Tyson was 30 years ago, man. That kind of emotion. And he is a kind of a baby Tyson with his style and what have you. Like you said, the height advantage that Santa Cruz got, I think that's going to be problematic because he never fought a skilled fighter like that. I just wanted to get that out of there.
Leo can box.
Oh, yes.
He sure can.
That's my thing.
Styles make fights.
You're going to see it. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I'm ready. But this is a Giants podcast, man.
We got to get to that, man.
So I want to remind everybody to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, everything. Bleed Blue Show, at Bleed Blue Show, The Bleed Blue Show. And listen live to our archives as well. I'll give you the number of the places for the archives later on. So, Steve, we just kind of alluded to it already, man. I think Tampa Bay is – look, they dismantled the Raiders, man, last week. Okay? They dismantled
sure
that goddamn team. Okay? And that kind of momentum that they have off that, because they had a slow, but you got to remember, they had a slow start in that game. You watched it. They had a slow start, but they came out and they poured it on in the second half. The Giants seemed to do it the other way. 4 minutes of great football last Thursday. Okay? Even though he was out game, you know, we was out first down and probably out possession on the clock or whatever, and we did our normal, you know, requisite three turnovers a game. We couldn't run out the clock. We was punting with a minute to go. We found another way to shoot ourselves in the friggin' foot. And you're right. I think that I won't use the word somewhat kind of loosely here, but Joe Judge has to be accountable for that completely. He's the head coach. Okay, we played some tough football, but we found again, like I said, new ways to come up on the short end in these close games. And that's why we're 1-6, which is weird because we ain't out of the playoff picture yet, but it's division. So I don't know. But we can't look bad on Monday. This is a type of game that, if you know anything about Tom Brady, which we all do, this is a potential 5-touchdown game for him. And I just don't think, their weaponry looks right now like it's too hard to handle. Particularly since Will Hernandez ain't playing now because he tested positive for COVID. So I don't know. We got to see what happens, man. But that's why I'm leaving it up to you, and that's why we have what we have. We have this show. And for everybody listening, once again, 929-477-4171. So since we have a nice cozy little rehab roundtable, go ahead, Steve, set it off, bro.
Let me say this before we pass this on to Lady Blue and right down the line, man. I mean, like you said, that second half for the Tampa Bay Bucks, man, I maybe they got angry that they got removed from that Sunday night football spot. Probably one of the best football games we've seen with the Cardinals and Seahawks. That overtime,
yeah.
A really good game.
Yeah.
Maybe Brady,
that was a good game.
He's kind of an attention whore a little bit on the low. He likes the spotlight, and I think, you know, they got removed from that 8 p.m. spot. and they put it on the Raiders. And the Raiders have been playing pretty good football. And they got so many weapons. Chris Godwin, and whether Mike Evans is in and out of the lineup, they got the two running back attack with Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. We all know about Gronkowski. I know O.J. Howell hasn't been there, but offensively, they have enough weapons. And don't forget about Scotty Miller, too. He's one of the underrated receivers. When we get the Manny Dogs and Carl, I want to know defensively how we're going to match up with them, because we know Tom Brady is a type of quarterback. He will pick on the weakest link on our defensive side. And we saw how Lewis got killed by Carson Wentz last Thursday. But Lady Blue, familiar with Tom Brady, your thoughts on this matchup versus the Bucks? And then let's go to Carl, and then go to Mini Dogs, and then back to Chris, and stakeholders after that.
Damn, there's really not much to say. I quite honestly think we're going to get our asses handed to us. That's my honest opinion. Between Tom Brady, Gronk, Brady's going to consistently throw the ball towards Ryan Lewis, and he's going to screw the pooch all game. I mean, that's what I would do. Watch film on Ryan Lewis. You're going to have a field day against this guy because he's awful. I mean, and with half our O-line and now with Will Hernandez, and with JPP playing, poor DJ is going to be eating dirt most of the game. I can see it now. I mean, I honestly have zero faith in our team winning at all Monday night. Not against the way the Bucs have been playing, not a chance. I mean, defensively, we've been playing semi-good on defense. I mean, if games only went three quarters, yeah, we'd win a lot. But we just don't have the stamina to go all four quarters because our offense can't stay on. I mean, it's a whole lot of a mess. That's what it is. That's why I said we've all become so used to losing the past few years that until Mara gets his shit together, and I know we're the type of organization that doesn't fire people in mid-season, but they need to get their head out of their asses and Gettlebaum needs to be gone. Joe Judge. I mean, he benched Andrew Thomas because of bullshit, but yet he won't bench players because they play bad. I don't get it. I mean, they should be so lucky that not one of these stakeholders are coaches, because their asses would have been walking home from Philly. No bus. Mm. You guys would be walking home the way they played.
Wow.
We need to get back in the mindset of a winning football team, and we can't do that with Gettleman, Judge, Garrett, Patrick. We can't do it with this. I mean, we have been a shit show since they let Coughlin go. I mean, yeah, things were not perfect under Coughlin, but Coughlin had the winning mindset. He expected more of his players. He showed some fire on the sidelines. Gettleman is useless. Joe Judge talks the talk, but to me, he doesn't walk the walk. I don't see any passion. Yeah, he's got the clips of him getting in the dirt, you know, with the players and shit, but I don't see him getting down and dirty. You're there to be their coach and their mentor, not to be their friend. You're supposed to light a fire under them to give them passion to want to win the game.
I love it.
And he's not doing that.
Yep.
We just need to find the mindset of winning. And until Mara and Tish get off their lazy asses and do something and show compassion like their parents did, we're screwed.
You know, Carl, Lady Blue alluded to something that, you know, it's psychology. All of us have had. Just basic psychology. I'm pretty sure if we were 6-1, our whole focus would be on the players, and we wouldn't have anything really much to say about our rookie coach or our management or anything like that. But when shit is bad, okay, when shit is flip-flopped, we want answers naturally. So we dwell deeper. We want to know who's in charge. You know, it's the old Manny Dogs brings it up all the time. It's the waiter and the customer thing, man. You know, you ain't gonna blame the young girl for bringing that shit to you when you know she didn't cook the steak that way. You want to know who the hell's in charge. So that's why we do what we do. That's why we're so passionate. I know I have conversations with Steve a lot about, hey man, we need to move on off the Gettleman shit and start talking about the field. And sometimes I do understand the passion, the desire of a bleed blue frontliner slash stakeholder, because we are so invested in our love for this franchise, and that's what we this is what we do. So you know, I'm just what's your take on what do you see preview coming up on Monday night, bro? What are you looking at? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I just was so into what Lewis said, and I said, man, you know what? That's so true. You know, we have to do better. Okay, I'm sorry.
And that's really, and you know, Chris, that's the thing that we have been, you know, kind of hammering on over the last, wow, I mean, it's going on 10 years now.
Oh,
I mean, in 2 years, it'll be 10 years since they won the championship. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of folks' frustration comes from the fact that when the question is posed to anyone with any level of authority on the franchise to say, hey, who's responsible for some of these decisions? Who's responsible for some of this player acquisition? Who's responsible for some of this drafting? Who's responsible for the coaching decisions? There seems to be a passing of the buck to different people to sort of absolve one person from blame and put the blame on somebody else. So it leaves sort of a feeling of helplessness in which, okay, no one's telling us who's responsible. We see the final product every Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whenever the game is, and we're like, wait a second, this is not adding up. And so that's really a lot what all of us are asking for, just some level of accountability. But since we can't get that, then we're sort of stuck in this mode of, you know, fighting with each other, you know, fans fighting with other fans as to who's to blame. Everybody's throwing out theories and all of that. And so, you know, you compound that over years in years, it's almost like it's become really like a frustrating exercise in a lot of ways.
Right.
Because it's old to keep talking about it, but unfortunately – that's all we have to talk about. In a normal year, you know, if the team was, let's just hypothetically say 3-4 or 4-3, we'd be saying, you know, hey, listen, we may have a chance to knock off this team on Monday night. But unfortunately, that the current circumstances right now don't allow for it. And so that's just, you know, it's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the game on Monday night, you know, and I've been kind of asking teams to do this season, and really it hasn't happened yet. I'm still looking for the first team that says, you know what, we're just going to throw the ball in the Giants' defense, like, consistently, because it's there. Like, anytime a team wants to throw the ball in the Giants, whenever they feel like they have to, they are very successful doing it. And some of these teams this season, for whatever reason, you know, just have, you know, played the game almost on the Giants' terms a lot of ways, you know, outside of maybe outside of San Francisco, you know, every other team, you know, and the Eagles kind of did it a little bit, but they were down, so I can't count that. But the Tampa Bay has the matchups, right? They have the inside matchup. They have Mike Evans on the outside. Now, maybe Bradberry helps him out and shuts him down a little bit. But even if they do that, there are still other places for Brady to go with the ball on Monday night, and the Giants do not have the defenders, enough defenders to slow that down. And just like the Packers found, just like the Raiders found, just like some of these other teams so far that have found out this season, at least so far through the first 6-7 games, Tom Brady has been finding dudes like he used to 10 years ago. And until you get pressure on him and make him speed up his clock and make him look like he's 42 or 43 or whatever age he is, he's going to keep finding dudes. And we're going to see the left tackle on Monday night for Tampa Bay, the rookie that, you know, that – we'll kind of look and see that coming up on Monday night as well. That's going to be something we should also look at as well coming up this week.
Yeah, right. That's right. Tristan works.
Can I have a question for Carl,
man? You know what? Yeah.
Two-part question.
My phone faded out. Go ahead, Chris. I couldn't hear you.
Two-part question for me.
Say that one more time.
Steve, what's that?
Go ahead.
Steve.
Okay, you said teams and the players need to have personal accountability. Has Evan Engram apologized for that drop? Because he makes that catch, we win the game. So where does the coach and the player stand on that? And number two, what player on the Bucks defense do you fear on Monday night going up against our offense?
On defense, Lavonte David.
Okay.
He has been I've liked him since he came into the league. We actually saw him in person last year in the game at Tampa. I don't know how many tackles he registered at that game, but that was the same game that Shaq Barrett, I think, had 5 sacks. So that's something I want to look at on Monday night. On terms of the accountability, Engram actually did a great thing on Thursday after the game. He went and did the press conference with the Zoom call with all the reporters for about, I think, maybe 5 or 6 minutes on Thursday after the game. And so he went out and he took accountability for the play. He said it's a play he should make. He knows that. You know, it in a lot of ways, he didn't want to say the following words I'm going to say, but it's kind of summed up his career. I think I said that on the postgame show actually last week, but I think he's come to that realization. Now, whether or not that translates into better play from him is up for question because, you know, this is year number 4 now that this has happened. But you guys were talking about the penalties and the accountability on that. I was looking through it as we were talking here. In the first 4 games of the season, the Giants had 16 penalties. In the last 3 games, it's 21 penalties, and 6 of the penalties in the game on Thursday came in the last 7 minutes.
You sure did, yep.
Damn. So how do we fix that, Manny Fox? And who do you fear on defense as well, and the whole 9 yards?
Listen, one of the things that, honestly, I'm excited. And I think I'm crazy, and I've had, you know me, I'm a big critic. I'm on top of front office. I'm all that. I'm crazy, right? But here's some things that I'm a little bit impressed with, and gives me a smidgen of hope. We've lost 5 games by a total of 9 points, right? Total 9 points, which means were all winnable games, right?
Exactly.
I mean, for some reason, it just at the times and the moments that we were supposed to get it done, it didn't gel. Could it happen this game? Maybe. And that's a big maybe. What worries me about this game, I'm on the phone, baby, got to wait. That's my daughter. is that we are going to be down Will Hernandez.
Yep.
So are we going to see Shane Lemieux? I'm excited about that, but I'm worried Shane Lemieux versus Ndamukong Suh. I don't know if that's your first one, that's baptism by fire there. And then you have JPP out there, again, either Andrew Thomas or Cam Fleming. That doesn't make me excited either. So I'm wondering, will we see Spencer Pulley instead of Lemieux? And maybe he goes to guard. We'll have to see about that. Offensively, I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. I think Bradbury's going to handle Mike Evans really well. He has a good history against Mike Evans. I don't know if you guys he has last few times he played against Mike Evans. He's pretty much shut him down. I'm not worried about Gronk as much because Gronk, he's even slower than Jason Witten right now. He's looking damaged. Well, the people that worry me though, is it Godwin? Chris Godwin?
Yeah.
And I think this will be the game that Leonard Fournette goes off. That's the one that worries me, is Leonard Fournette. I think Tom Brady, if anybody has the blueprint to play Tom Brady, it's the New York Giants. Just look at the archives. If the staff wants to figure it out, go watch all the games that they played with Tom Coughlin
and Spags and Fuel and all these guys who played Tom Brady. The blueprint is out.
Oh,
so I have a little more confidence than maybe I should. And but those are the things. That's my take on what's coming up here.
I have a follow-up question for Manny Dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question. Manny Dogs, you there? Quick question, man.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, he's here.
One thing I did not hear from the post game. Maybe I missed it through frustration last week. Where is the accountability of Jabril Peppers? Because, I mean, this is the guy we were talking about. Okay, he's a cheaper cost than Landon Collins. And this is another thing I said to Eagle fans last week, Chris, that Boston Scott was going to get something off on the Giants, and he did, and he beat them on that flat play. I don't know if the Bucks have that type of running back out of the backfield. We know Ronald Jones can run the ball and Leonard Fournette can run the ball, but I don't know as a pass-catching threat there, like what Boston Scott did to Jabril Peppers. Where is the confidence in, like Lady Blue said, as far as Lewis? What about Jabril Peppers? Where is the accountability on that player of, you know, do your job and cover your men? Like, defensively, we're just, you know, just getting beat. What's the confidence level like from the safety in the corners?
Last week, man, was the worst game I think I've seen Jabril Peppers play. He just seemed to be out of position all the time last week. He still made a couple good hits, but in coverage, where we thought, you know, we finally got somebody that could cover, he struggled last week. I'm not as hard on him as some other Giants fans are, or maybe even as you are sometimes if I looked at his collective season. I think he's had some really great moments for us where he's made a big hit or a good pass breakup. But I honestly don't think he's healthy. Last week he went down twice and was doing the stretching thing. And I'm not sure if he's dealing with cramps. I don't know if he's got a nagging injury that is just not getting better. But last week it looked like he was deteriorating, and that's a problem for me. But where the hell is Sean Chandler? That's who I'd like to see in the game more. Get Sean Chandler out there. I think it's a benefit that the Bucks do not have that guy that can, you know, come out the backfield and hurt us in the passing game. But as far as accountability goes, I think Jabril is an outspoken guy, and I think he's one of the ones that would be like, hey, that's on me. But that's a coaching thing, man. Joe Judge has got to expect more from his leaders and his veterans. And we're a young team, and the problem we have a young team. When you think about the vets on this team, not a lot of winners. So you're asking a lot of people who aren't winners, you know, in their career. Jabril came from Cleveland, wasn't a winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Blake Martinez, they didn't do a whole lot of winning. They had some spurts here and there with Aaron Rodgers. But he had some down years with Blake Martinez out there too. And Blake is another one who he's a numbers guy. Like, his numbers look great, but he gets a lot of trash time tackles, and people don't understand. Like, he can have 80 tackles, right? But if 60 of them are out of position and giving up yardage, are they good tackles? I've said that all year. I don't think they're good tackles. But yeah, I definitely think that comes from the coach and accountability. You got to come from the coaches. And somebody as a veteran has to stand up and say, no more, and we've got to figure this shit out. And you can't keep doing this. I'm assigned this guy to a practice squad, and we go garbage picking out the practice squads throughout the league. Oh, man.
All right.
You know what? We don't have as many callers tonight as we normally do, but it seems like less is more, man. I've gotten so much good information, man, just listening to you three, four. just in this time, man. It's just deep. I want to ask everybody a question, actually. Help me with this, because it's actually a question. Okay? We have yet, we, the New York Giants, have yet to mount a successful two-minute drill at the end of either half this season. Okay? Think about it. We have 0 points through our two-minute offenses this year. Okay? Why is that happening? It's a question. I need to know this.
I can answer that.
I need
that.
To know. Why is this happening?
I can answer that.
By the way, 929-477-4171, everyone. This is the preview against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Monday night appearance. Ed, I'm sorry. Good.
I'll sum it up real quick, then we'll go to Carl on that answer. It's really a couple of things. We were wasting timeouts specifically in the last game in the second half, avoiding delay of game penalties. And then when we get the ball, before the end of the second quarter or the fourth quarter, I mean, it is literally almost damn near no time when we get the ball back. So the other team is playing good keep away, and the time of possession is just we got trounced last game. Carl, what about you, man? And then Manny Dog.
So I wrote this word down here as you were talking, and the word that I used was explosion. And here's the reference. Here's the sort of reference I'll make. The Giants are the football equivalent of the team that takes four singles to score a run in baseball. The Giants can't score pretty much unless they get really lucky from 30 yards out. We've seen it this season. They don't have plays that get them chunks of yardage. They basically need 10, 12, 14 plays to score the ball. And when you have situations like that, when you can't get 20 yards at a time, when you can't get 30 or 40 yards at a time, as it's happened on the other side when the opposing team is playing us, you know, when that is in play and too much has to go into scoring, you eventually run into a situation where a penalty, a negative play, a sack, a lost yardage or whatever backs them up in any situation where all of a sudden any thoughts of scoring go right out the window.
Mm-hmm. Manny Dawes, what's your thoughts on that? And then Lady Blue, as far as what Chris said, as far as
the reason why I think it comes down to knowing your personnel and playing the person and calling the right place for the personnel. Not having Sterling Shepard back is going to help a lot, so maybe we'll see it. But we're not Carl was talking about we don't have those chunk plays. We're not running routes to get us those chunk plays either. With Big Play Slay, he should be running deeper routes. Evan Engram should be attacking the seams. I haven't seen one seam with Evan Engram at all this year. Not one. The tight end seam has been a staple of the New York Giants offense for decades, and I haven't seen it. We're doing a lot of these 5 yard outs, 7 yard outs, some drags. We're getting cute in the reverse game. We're doing reverses all the time and jet sweeps and shit like that. But we don't have we have weapons, but we're not utilizing our weapons to their strengths. And I blame Garrett on that. And I also blame the fact that I don't think they have confidence in Jones enough to run a 2 minute offense. He's got to break out to run a good 2 minute offense. You can't lock in on a receiver, and he does that too much. And I think that's so. It's a combination of those things.
I agree with that part. Staring down receivers or staring down, potential targets. I think we all agree. We've identified that. I also think we just simply don't have the personnel that are game breakers on the outside. Golden Tate is washed up. I forget about the touchdown last week. He snagged it. It was kind of a lucky snag, and the guy fell. Even if Evan Engram, he has the separation capabilities, he just can't catch the goddamn ball. All right? The game was over. I mean, how many times I got to say that part, man? I'm still fucking catching him last week on that. He catches the ball, the game's over, no matter how he slices it and dices it. And then on the interception, he didn't even complete the route. See, I know we've been hard on the quarterback, but the quarterback kind of hitting these guys in the hands, and they're not catching it. I mean, go back to the Bears game. The Bears game was they had a chance to win the game at the end of the fourth quarter. We know it was a nice drive just to complete it because we don't have the game breakers on the outside. Let me go back to Lady Blue. Lady Blue, if you get a couple of minutes, man. I mean, Marcus Golden is traded. We don't have.
Oh,
I mean, we all know. You know, Brady is susceptible against defenses with pass rushers. I mean, we don't really have that, and we know that that's what it takes to beat that particular guy.
Right.
With Chris, who said it? Somebody said, "Oh, I understand Bradbury on Mike Evans. I mean, you do take away their best receiver, but Chris Godwin is a monster. Even who the hell? How are we going to defend Scotty Miller?
He's
and,
not playing.
And, oh yeah, he's
yeah, he's
Monday.
Out. This,
he
he's out on Monday.
On
he had, he, yeah, he had surgery
okay.
on his thumb this month, this past week. So he's out. He'll be back
yeah,
next
okay.
week.
Thank goodness.
Okay, cool. So defending Tom Brady, Lady Blue, and any additional thoughts? Your thoughts on this game, and then go back to Carl and Manny Dogs and Chris and Chris.
Well,
to go back
on your other question, he said it perfectly. Garrett is the reason why we can't do a 2-minute offense. I mean, we do. We've tried. Look at our past games. We've tried the trick plays, and they worked. But what happened? A stupid ass penalty, or players not. I mean, so when Joe Judge makes the calls, because like they said, he's a special teams coach, so he likes the trick plays. Those you think those fucking plays are coming from Garrett? Give me a break. I think we all know Garrett's playbook by heart. I mean, he's like a broken record. I never wanted his ass in New York anyway. But I honestly believe we could have the playmakers. I mean, anybody can become a playmaker. Anybody can be taught. I mean, it's the mentality, really. It's the same with any career. Hard skills you can teach. Anybody can be taught a computer program. It's the emotional intelligence and it's the soft skills that are hard to teach. Anybody can be taught to catch a ball. It's you have to be in that mentality that you can catch it if you have, you know, the greasing. You got to be, I lost the words, but Garrett's not the guy to coach our offense. He really isn't. I mean, DJ's got the most running yards on our whole fucking team, and what's wrong with that picture? Okay? I mean, I honestly believe we do have playmakers. They're just not properly taught or given the mindset. They're not giving them attaboys. Well, come on. Andrew Thomas is a right tackle. That's what we drafted his ass. Why is he not at left tackle? You're trying to teach him something new that he's never done his whole career. And without practice, without preseason, put him at left tackle. He may surprise us all. I mean, I don't know. I think I see things that are potential, they just need to be refined. I mean, the offensive line, rearrange them. I mean, and we say this, every one of us on this call says it week in and week out. It's the coaching. Coaching, coaching, coaching. You have to be taught. You have to be trained, you know, and they're not, I don't think they're getting that. I really don't. I mean, hell, even Strahan said once on an interview that, why are these guys doing this? I mean, there's so much shit that they do that's questionable. I mean, come on, the trick plays that we did were beautiful. We could have had a fake punt if he would have just turned around and looked at the court, you know, because there was no one on him last week.
That's
but,
right.
I forgot. I remember that play. Yeah.
Right.
How's that on the coach though? Like that's my question. These players need to be aware.
The coach needs to teach you when you're lined up and there's no one in front of you, look back at the goddamn quarter, you know, look back.
Yeah.
But
if there's
ladies,
no one
what
in
if,
front of you,
what if,
look back. Someone's probably trying to give you signals.
I don't agree with that.
But Lady Blue, what if the, but Lady Blue, what if the player, what if the player does not have the football intelligence? And we've seen this over a lot of years now, where we have a lot of just dumb players on this team.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Steve.
Like we just,
and you want to know who's that,
that
who that goes to?
Yeah.
That's the blame for Gettlebum for drafting the asshole.
Oh man.
That goes to
I gotta ask.
Scouting, the scouts are not doing their job good enough, and neither is Gettlebum for drafting them. We need better scouting for these people.
Wait a minute, Lady Blue, let's Steve ask that question.
Before
we
go to Carl, because I know we gotta get to the picks and get them in, I know Manny Dawgs is salivating at this, man, but LB, I gotta ask, who the hell are these playmakers are you talking about on our team, on offense?
If, I guess what I'm just optimistic in the fact that anybody could be a playmaker if they're taught correctly.
Okay. Nah,
okay.
I mean,
okay, that's fair, because I was laughing too.
Okay? Just like, if I put you in front of a computer, if I put you in front of a computer and you don't know a damn thing about Microsoft Office or any program, I have enough confidence in my teaching ability that I can teach you everything you need to know.
But
yeah,
the thing is, this is not Pee Wee football. They're professional football players. If you are on the outside on special teams, you line up across and nobody's there. You are out there on the island for a reason, and nobody's there. You are supposed to look. They teach you this in Pee Wee football. They teach you this in Pop Warner. Like, a lot of us, like, Manny Dawgs probably going to get on, and he's going to tell you, like, this is what they teach in football. If the guy lined up across from you, is nobody there, it's up to the player to look back to say, yo, nobody's here. Throw me the ball. But the Ballantyne didn't do that. I can't say that.
It also depends on the teacher. You got these assholes in college teaching these players that you only need 1 foot to get in. Hello? If you're going to get them ready for NFL, they need to be trained to do 2 feet for a catch. That's why I don't like college football. It's a bunch of bullshit. You need to train. No, so.
Wait a minute, you guys.
I believe anybody can be taught.
All right, Carl, let's get to you, then Manny Dawgs, and we go around and get to these picks.
Yeah, we got to do our picks. Yeah, good, Carl.
Well, it kind of goes back in terms of the – and that's where when we're talking about this team, and it's really sort of a long-term conversation that we're having, right, in terms of the players that we're bringing in here and having the – now, unfortunately, I kind of disagree with Lady Blue on the talent thing because – at least on the analogy that she provided, because of this, you know, there's a reason why there's a draft. There are guys that are much, much more talented than other guys. Now, eventually, over time, some guys get better, some guys get – but everybody comes into the league with a skill set, and some come in higher than others. Just like in college, where there are guys that come out of school or gals that come out of school from certain schools, and they go and work for, you know, Fortune 500 companies, and some don't right off the bat because they're more talented than the others. So that's where that comes into play. The talent part of it, I think, and I'm fearing this, and it's something I've been noticing for the last year and change, I fear that as fans, and some there seems to be two sides to this, I think that there's a certain percentage of the fan base that has overrated the talent on the team itself. And that is causing the frustration because, unfortunately, while the names look good, while the little efforts in certain plays look good, like I'll just use Slayton as an example. I think he had two catches in the game last week. Now, we've been talking him up, a lot of us, as he is a big play guy, big play slay, as the nickname goes. Look at his stat line this season. You know, outside of a couple catches here, you know, he has not made, you know, the Dallas game notwithstanding, you know, significant impact on the game. Teams have figured out a way to defend him correctly and have been successful. Engram, we've talked about him at nauseam. Golden Tate, lost cause. The running game, you know, it's here and there. The offensive line, it is what it is. And I keep wondering, you know, is it – and this may come into a final thought that I may have at the end of the show. But, and I think about this. If you replace Jones with a superstar quarterback with these same weapons, the results change. Part of me believes yes, because I've seen some other teams with bare bones offensive talent around them be successful. And I think if we had higher level of quarterback play, if we saw, and there's a guy I'm thinking about that I'll talk about later, but I keep thinking that really a lot of this starts there and builds out to the rest of the roster.
Okay. So that Manny Dawes, real quick.
If the quote holds true, big players make big plays in big games. Who are they? Because here's the thing: everybody that is capable of stretching or breaking the big play, they've been hurt, and that's the truth of the matter. Right now, Evan Engram last week had the opportunity. They gave him every opportunity to become the man. They gave him the ball running. They threw the ball at him. They gave him the ball in crunch time, and he bumbled it. He shitted down his leg. And so now, you know who Evan Engram is, and I don't see a higher ceiling for him. Great athlete, not a great football player. Slayton, his numbers are kind of speaking for himself right now, honestly. And I'll counter call with that. With he's averaging 15 yards a catch. He leads the team in receptions and yards, and he's got 3 touchdowns. He's averaging 61 yards a game. Comparatively speaking of what Daniel Jones has put together as far as yards per game, Slayton is his offense when it comes down to passing. And I think a lot of that has to do to your point, Carl, is that he's not a big play quarterback. And he locked in on Slayton. He's just locked in on him. And any defense, shit, my peewee football can teach you, hey, they go into one guy. You go to one guy, you cover that one guy, and then you see what happens after that. Shepard, he can't stay healthy. So, again, we really don't have big play guys other than Slayton. And I think Gallman will be a good back. He'll be good. But Saquon Barkley is the home run hitter. He's hurt. So,
right.
To your point again, Carl, we do got to put these drives together where we put 10, 12 play drives, 14 play drives. And when you do that, you have to have a quarterback that can manage the game and manage the pocket and manage the football. And when he's on the field too long, something bad's going to happen. And that's,
okay.
And that's how I feel, man.
Hey, Manny, let me bust in here real quick. All of you, actually. We got to get these picks in real quick. We got to pick these picks in because we're running out of time. We're running really close. Okay, so listen real closely, y'all. We have Steelers at Ravens, which is a marquee game to me. Steelers at Ravens, Raiders at Browns, Saints at Bears, and, of course, this game we're talking about, the Bucks and Giants. So Steelers at Ravens, Raiders at Browns, Saints at Bears, and, of course, our game. And if you're ready.
Now,
I'll
add one more thing, though. Even though there's not for the confidence points, who do you want to win, the Cowboys or the Eagles? We'll throw that as a fun question.
Oh, God.
God, that's a tough one. It's a hard attack.
Can I ask for a tie?
Question.
Yeah,
have it a
me
tie.
Too. I'm with Lady Blue.
I want a tie.
Go ahead, LB.
Girl, cop it out.
Oh, by the way, Survivor is me and Lady Blue left. Go ahead, Lady Blue.
My Survivor pick is the Chiefs this week. I haven't picked them yet.
Okay.
All right, let me see. Shit, these four games are going to be rough. All right, I'm going to go. Shit. Four the Steelers, three the Browns, two the Bears, and one the Bucks.
All right, Carl.
All right, we're going to make this pretty quick. Tampa, 4 points right off the bat. You can give me 20 points if you give me those. The Saints, 3. Browns, 2. And Steelers, 1.
Manny Dawes. Give me the Raiders, 4.
We'll go to Bears 3. Ravens 2. And us 1. I ain't going out like that. I still believe. Well, give me. Oh, man. Damn. Give me. Let's get us for. Damn. Let's say. Saints. Okay. Let me try this again. Because I'm getting confused now. Because I'm changing my mind as we speak. Okay. Raiders. I mean, sorry. Ravens at home. Ravens 3. Browns 2. Saints 4. And Bucks 1. That's it.
Saints 4. Bucks 1. Man, you did change your mind. All right. Bucks 4. Saints 3. Browns 2. Ravens 1. I got to pick a survivor. Who the hell is playing this week? And who can I not pick? Shit. I got to hurry up. All right, for the record, I'm going with...
Well, do it in a second, man. Think about
Chiefs,
it.
I think I'm picking with you, Lady Blue. I think I might have to go with the Chiefs, man. Yeah, Lady Blue, I didn't pick the Chiefs yet either. I'm with you. Chiefs or die with you,
well,
Lady
so
Blue.
We're the only two
right, that's
left.
That's it. We're only two left.
Two left. Standing, what you doing with my...
We're going
wife,
out together.
That's my blue, big blue wife. All right.
Dang.
All right.
Going down
all right.
The
y'all,
the Jets.
A nice little... Oh, God. Anyway, final thought here.
My final thought is let's just hope no one else gets hurt and we have a good game and pray to God that Gettleman gets fired soon. Doesn't that bleed blue to life?
All right. Carl, bleed blue.
Well, let's first, before we get into that, let's just hope that everybody on the Giants that had to be sent home today is you know, safe, you know, and everybody can come back, you know, fully in preparation for Monday. Hopefully we even get a game Monday just in case anything bad happens. But,
yeah,
you know, I don't know about anybody else, but as I was watching a Sunday night game on the other day and watching the Arizona Cardinals go to 5-2 on the season, I kept thinking, I was like, I'm sure any Giant fan who was watching that game was probably asking themselves, boy, you know, they seem to be rebuilding pretty fast over there. You know, it wasn't, it was just a year ago that they were first pick in the draft, Kyler Murray rebuilding,
yeah,
first year head coach and everything like that.
Yeah.
And here they are 5-2 in the toughest division in football and they have a chance to make the playoffs. And here we are kind of trying to figure out, what are we doing here exactly? And that tells that when the team tells you that they need to have all this extra time to rebuild, they need 2, 3, 4, 5 years or whatever the number it's going to be now, they're lying, because rebuilding does not take as long as you might think. And we've seen some examples that are going on right now, today, that shows that what the Giants have been doing and what they've been saying compared to what some other teams are doing is two different things.
Bleed blue. Gotcha. Manny Dog.
I have confidence in the fact that history can repeat itself, and if we lose this game, they'll get rid of Gettleman in the middle of the season the way they did Reese and Mack.
Bleed blue. I want to give a nice shout-out to my wonderful G-wife, Lady Blue, my man Carl, the wild boy, Manny Fogg, the great Azul. I want to remind everybody to check out all the podcasts on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I just want to say as my final thought, my concern is the fact that the Buccaneers only allow 66 rushing yards a game so far, they're going to shut us down. I know it, but I didn't want to say it. I try to keep it quiet. I just have a lot of – that means there's going to be plenty of action for Graham Gano and Riley Dixon. So expect to see them basically lead the pack on Monday. I'm not trying to be downtrodden. I'm just trying to be real. Azul, take us out, bruh.
Listen, man, I think this is a week-to-week league. And saying that, I do agree with Manny Dog. I think this is going to be – I think we're going to compete, man. Like Manny Dog said, since the 49er game, we have competed. We were in that LA game. We were in the Dallas game. We were in the Philly game. Like, and of course, Washington to the very end. It broke our way versus Washington. It should have broke our way versus Philly. It is what it is. But the effort has been there. I don't think we have the playmakers on offense, but I do think the offense has maximized the as best as they could. I mean honestly, it would take a miracle to really get the most efficiency out of this offense. I mean look at the run, the RPO run Daniel Jones had on the 8-yard gapper. That was a great play call because it totally fooled Jim Schwartz. But the quarterback fell, but they got into the end zone. They used Wayne Gallman. Wayne Gallman played like he was angry, like he was tired of being on the bench. I loved it. So I say all this to say, man, I'm not as hard on the coordinator. I know he came from Dallas, and I just think that we need more playmakers on the outside, but that's a later talk. And I think we're going to compete on Monday. I think we are, man. We'll talk about it Monday night after the game, win, lose, or draw. And Chris will lead the show on Monday, and we'll call
Tank
in and we'll react to the Monday night game.
Tank Davis, Santa Cruz.
Tank Davis. Hey, absolutely. Absolutely. Tank Davis,
Santa Cruz. That's all I got to say there. All right, man. Hey,
and welcome
Betty
back
Blue,
to
Carl,
football.
Betty Dog, the Great Azul. Hey, bleed blue, y'all. Appreciate
bleed
it.
Bleed blue. Welcome back, Big Ten Football.
Bleed blue.
Love you all, bleed blue, folks. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.